What's up, everybody, and welcome to the very first episode of the She's My Sister podcast. This is your co-host, Maddie, and I will be here along with my sisters, Katie and Amy, and we're talking about advice today. So everything from student advice to marriage advice. So stay tuned.
So we thought we would start off with advice we would give to ourselves as teenagers if we could go back in time. And my advice to myself would be, listen to mom.
Well, this goes directly with that. Mom told me this. My advice would be that, you know, he isn't as cool as you think he is. And when mom tells you maybe you should break up with him, she's right. If he makes you kind of uncomfortable sometimes... And your sisters don't like him, and your mom doesn't like him.
It's usually a sign.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea that you shouldn't like him. Mm. And, you know, as cool or as cute as you think he is, if you aren't relaxed and having fun, then it's probably not a good idea.
Makes sense.
Or it might be that he just thinks he's really cool. If your boyfriend tells you he wants to be a rapper, and he's this little rich white boy.
Not that rich white boys can't be rappers.
Not that they can't.
But what was he rapping
shout out
about?
To Eminem, but not that he was rich when he started.
Really, he was not rich.
I mean, but how rich is he now? I mean, come on.
Okay, well.
But if you ask him, oh, well, what's your backup plan? And he gets mad at you, let him go. You know, that you, probably.
You don't believe in me and my dreams.
That's what
he said.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. You guys, when we were playing, I don't know if you guys have ever played that game. It's like the heads up game from Ellen. It's like you hold a phone on your head and it has a name.
Kind of like charades.
Yeah, and it has a name on it, and it said Eminem, and Amy was holding it on her head, and everyone was like, oh, Mom Spaghetti, and my mom, and Amy was like, oh, Eminem, and she, like, tilted it down, and was like, da-ding, like, she got it, and my mom was like, what just happened? Like, Mom Spaghetti, Eminem,
what does my spaghetti have to
rappers,
do with that?
What is happening right now? But,
and then Dad was trying to get her to guess the clue as well, and he goes, oh, that guy from 8 miles high. Oh, yeah.
I was surprised he even knew
I
that much.
Too. I was impressed.
So my advice to my teenage self is that it gets better. Life gets so much better after you're out of middle school and high school. But not to worry so much about what everyone else thinks and that you can't please everyone no matter how hard you might try.
Mm-hmm.
Failing one test isn't the end of the world, and so stop making everything such a huge deal. And to stop overplucking my eyebrows and wearing smoky eyeshadow at 9 a.m.
Yeah, because when you plucked your eyebrows, I copied everything you did.
Yeah, isn't that a good
one? So when Maddie had no eyebrows, neither did I.
Well, we had some really bad moments phases there. I, like, learned everything that I knew off of YouTube, and sometimes copying what people are doing off of videos doesn't always turn out the same way. So
the next thing we have are advice for students. And for some of those things, I'd say don't feel like you have to slack or act like you don't care about classes or feel like you need to not answer when the teacher asks something because it's cool to not care or it's cool to not be present. Because if you're interested in a subject and you want to do well in school, that is so much more important than looking kind of cool because you don't care. And honestly, not caring isn't cool. It's lazy and it's boring.
Right. Don't ever apologize for something that you feel passionate about just because it might make other people feel uncomfortable or make them feel like, I mean, honestly, they're probably being lazy and slacking. So it might make them feel bad about themselves because you are going out there and getting it.
Yeah.
I remember when I first went to public school. So we went to a private school and then we were homeschooled for a couple years and then we went to public school. So that was kind of a rude awakening. And I remember like one of the first couple days I like sat really straight. I've always had like pretty good posture, I guess. And everyone else, I hadn't realized it, but everyone would like slouch way down in their chairs because that was like the cool thing to do. And I remember one day I was like sitting all straight in my chair and it was like what was comfortable to me, but someone was like, wow, you sit really straight. And I was like, oh, I guess I do. And so then I started, like, slouching because I was like, this is, like, I don't want to be the weird one sticking up and, like, sitting weird. So, yeah, that's, like, such a weird thing to, like, be, like, self-conscious about.
I remember one time in high school pretending that I was further behind on a project than I was because everyone else was saying that they barely started it or weren't done with it, and I wanted to fit in, and mine was, like, almost done. So instead I was like, yeah, this is so hard. I barely started. It's going to be rough.
Maybe and I was almost done. Maybe you were trying to make them feel better that they weren't done.
That too. But I didn't want to be that nerdy kid that was already done.
Oh my gosh.
But also, as far as I have advice for college, is it is really hard and it can be really, really stressful. But don't forget to just have some fun too. You can still do well in your classes and take a break every once in a while. Because for me, I really valued how I did my classes. If I didn't get an A, it stressed me out. I just really needed to do well in them. But if I didn't take the time for myself to go relax and cool off for a little bit and just have some fun, my work wouldn't actually be as good. I think I'd get in my head and I wouldn't be able to relax and I wouldn't be able to do as well. So make sure you stop and enjoy some things and just go out and make some memories too.
I think along with that for students, one piece of advice I have is that if it's not going to matter a couple years from now, it doesn't matter now.
Yeah, for sure. I just said that in college you should also choose to study something that you actually can see yourself doing as a career and that you enjoy. Mm. I think so many people pick their major based off of what their family wants them to do, what they think is going to just make the most money, not so much what's going to make them happy. So if you can't see yourself doing what you're studying, you should really look into something different.
Mm-hmm. I think leading off from that, college, I think, is think about advice for future careers. And I would say that go ahead and apply for that dream job that you're wanting, even if it seems out of reach or you might not have all of the qualifications. Someone has to get that job and it might as well be you. So go ahead and try for it.
So for careers, I just wanted to say that I don't think that you should feel stuck if you start a job and hate it. You can always find something better. And we work the majority of our life. And so you shouldn't spend all that time being unhappy. You can always start over. There's people who go to college at 45 years old and start a whole new career, mm-hmm. and they're so much happier. And if you're unhappy at work, you're going to be really unhappy at home. Your relationships are going to suffer, and your health is probably going to suffer too, because that's a lot of stress. So
right, don't just stay stuck in a place because it's familiar and it becomes comfortable. Changing careers and change can be kind of scary, mm-hmm. and it can be uncomfortable. You have to push yourself out of your comfort zone. Like right now, I just had my daughter and it's a little scary. I'm on maternity leave right now, but I'm looking for something new next year because I want to be able to stay home with her as much as possible. So I'm looking for something in the evenings or part-time, and it's a little scary, the unknown and not knowing what you're going to be doing.
Like just keeping your options open too. Like if you have a degree in teaching, you feel like, well, I've got to be a teacher. Like you could literally do anything.
Right.
You could do something completely different. And then, like, also, I remember you were saying something like, I could even, like, wait tables, right? Like, you said that?
I did. I don't think that's what I'm going to do. I want to be able to do something that, like...
But I remember, like, I
was saying that it's not that right now it's not a permanent solution. Right now it's, I'm working to be able to prioritize my time with my daughter, mm-hmm. and being at home. I'm not trying to, like, advance my career at the moment. That doesn't have to be your end game. Doesn't have to be to make the most money or to be in the most prestigious position. It can, right now, that's not my priority.
Because when you're, like, old, you're not going to think, like, oh, I'm so glad that I worked that first few months of Josie's life. You're going to be like, oh, I'm so glad I spent that extra time with her. And even if you have to take a lower paying or less exciting position mm-hmm. for a little while, it'll be worth it.
It's totally worth it.
What I was going to say about when you said, like, waiting tables, I know mm-hmm. you're probably not going to do that, but somebody said, like, well, you shouldn't do that. You have a degree. But it's like, at the same time, what's more important? Like, you have to remember, what mm-hmm. are your priorities? And seriously, like, what are you going to care about the most when you're old looking back?
So. Like, our parents just celebrated their 30th wedding anniversary, and we asked them what kind of pearls of wisdom they had, and one of the ones my mom said was to enjoy your children while they're little, because they don't stay little for very long.
Yeah, for sure.
Although I still think that we're quite enjoyable right now, but...
I just recently moved, and when you move, you know, obviously I needed to leave my job and find a new one, and at first I felt like I needed to apply for something that had a higher pay because I have a degree and I have this experience. I feel like I deserve something higher. But I found a job working for a nonprofit that hopefully, fingers crossed, I can get. And after finding out the salary, for a minute I almost felt that I needed to defend my choice to go for a nonprofit because it was less pay, and someone had told me that I needed to get something or had to find like a higher hourly wage because I had a degree. And I don't think that matters as much as the fact that I would be doing something I believed in and something I cared about.
And something you would be happy doing.
Yeah, because the prestige of having a higher paying job or having a higher position, that's not going to matter if I hate my job.
Exactly. Right.
Well, we've covered education and careers. Let's move on to dating. When you're dating someone or looking for a partner, I think it's really important that you look for someone that fits in well with your family, and they should bring you closer to them rather than pulling you apart, or you shouldn't feel awkward having them around your family or your family being around them.
When I first met Katie's husband, Aaron, I was only like 12 or 13, I think, and he challenged me to a mermaid drawing contest. And I thought that was a pretty good sign, so I liked him right away.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm just thinking back to someone I was dating in high school. Really wasn't a good fit, and he wasn't someone that I think my family got along with or trusted very well because...
Not so much.
I'm there in my bedroom, doors open, obviously, and then all of a sudden, Amy and Madeline decide to come into my room and sit on the bed right next to me, super awkwardly, no reason to come in there. I'm like, what?
Like,
are you
hey
doing?
Guys, what you doing?
Yeah, and then I find out later they were sent in there to spy on me by our parents to make sure that no funny business was going on.
And, like, we could have been so much more subtle about it. We, like, came in and just sat at the end of our bed right next to each other staring at them. Like,
it was
no
really
pressure
awkward.
Or anything. We just want to visit.
But you should be with someone that you can all hang out together. Now I'm so grateful that our husbands and our family all get together and... They're friends with each other now, and they can hang out and get along together, and we can all, you know, have game nights or date nights together, and it's not weird. You just want someone that fits in with your family.
And that's a big piece of advice, too, is if you want to stay close to your siblings, also make an effort to get close to and be just have a really good relationship with their spouse, because I think that's the quickest way you could possibly create a rift in between you and your siblings is to create problems with their spouse, because that's the most important person to them, or should be. Mm-hmm. So if you want to stay close, make sure you are kind to them and make sure that you create a good connection with them too.
Yeah, I think I've heard mom say something similar to that before.
Yeah, I got that from mom.
Oh, okay. How much of this did we get from mom though?
I'm 23. I don't have this kind of wisdom.
The more I look back on it though, the more I'm like, wow, mom really was right about everything.
I tell her that a lot.
Yeah.
Especially if
I should probably tell her that more often.
Do you ever like tell mom stories that she didn't know about beforehand and then you tell her and she's kind of like, oh my gosh, Amy, you did that? I said, but you were right, mom. I swear you were right. I know now. Like, don't get mad at me. I know you're right now.
Yeah, and I also said don't change yourself for someone else. Mm-hmm. If they don't like you for your quirks and flaws and everything, then, you know, they don't deserve the best qualities about you. And they should always bring you up, not tear you down. Mm-hmm. I hear so many young girls who their boyfriends will say something just totally rude or want them to change something about them. And unless you want that, don't do that. Don't change yourself.
My advice was similar. It was just that you should be more comfortable with that person than anybody else. Mm-hmm. I remember that's how I knew with Jaden that he was the one, is that I felt more like me with him than even when I was alone or with anybody else. I just felt the most comfortable. I can tell him anything. I can tell him the most embarrassing stories. I remember once I was at physical therapy, and I had physical therapy at like 7 in the morning, and I had just drank a giant cup of coffee, and this is a lot of information out there, but here we go. And sometimes, if it's a really strong cup of coffee, you know, it gives people gas sometimes.
Don't lie. Coffee makes us all poop.
Okay. Yes, it does.
I said it.
But I was at physical therapy at 7 in the morning with my physical therapist, who was actually like my cousin's husband's brother.
Oh my gosh, makes you were up better. At 7 o'clock in the morning.
Leave me alone. And they were working on my knee. I had a knee surgery, so he was massaging my knee on the table. And then I tooted. And it wasn't the kind that was quiet.
A toot is like a nice word for
it. It was
happened.
The kind, you weren't there. It was the kind that was like a little machine gun, you know, like it didn't smell bad, but it sounded like that.
Can
like, I can't do it. I can't, like, you know, I don't know. It was bad.
Oh my gosh.
And I just didn't know what to do. And I was just like, well, we're pretending it didn't happen. And that was the most awkward thing ever. And I hated going to physical therapy after that.
Okay.
For a little while.
You kind of acknowledge it when that happens. You guys are like, whoops, sorry.
He didn't, so I didn't. But then the first thing I did after physical therapy was I called Jaden. I told him what happened. We laughed so hard about it. So that's the kind of thing. I mean, like, when embarrassing things happen, they should be the one that you want to tell and laugh about it.
Yes.
Instead of, you know, a podcast to random people. But you should be able to call your spouse and tell them when embarrassing things happen instead of hiding them from them.
Yeah. I knew I could feel comfortable in front of my husband and didn't have to feel like I had to constantly be dressed up and have my makeup just perfect or my clothing just right. Because I met him at rugby practice. So he's seen me mud splattered, hair all over the place. I'm sure bruises covering me. Like, so I know that if he was okay with me then, he can handle me anytime.
And didn't he have a rat tail at the time?
Yes, but that was kind of like a rugby thing. Several of the guys, they were very proud of them.
Oh, that makes it so much better.
Oh, and Amy, going back to the tooting, when I was training clients, it happened all the time. I remember I was with this one lady and she was doing crunches and it was just me and her. And it was like super quiet in the gym. It was just a personal training studio. And it was like 5 in a row, like machine gun on steroids. And she did not say anything. And I didn't want to say anything because she didn't say anything. So it was just, it was so awkward.
You know, farting shouldn't be so awkward. Everybody does it. Let's just let it go. And when it happens, it's no big deal.
Do you guys realize this is the second time we've talked about farting on this podcast?
We are our grandmother's granddaughters.
She would be proud.
She would. I have to say that one wonderful thing about having a young child is you can blame a lot on them. I'll be out shopping, and it, I mean, it happens sometimes, and it's like, oh, darling, you shouldn't have done that in public. Like,
oh my gosh.
You can always blame it on the baby, or as a teacher.
She's got some powerful.
Oh, she does have some powerful ones.
Or are they you?
No, those are hers. As a teacher, sometimes I would be walking around my classroom, and I mean, I'm in there all day long. I can't always leave the room when I need to.
True.
Toot, as you were saying. So you would do it, and then you would, it would be silent, and you'd walk away, and then all of a sudden, two of the kids would be like, was that you? No, it wasn't me. Was that you? They never suspect the teacher.
That's as bad as blaming it on the dog. But I feel like people always know.
That's true.
Blaming it on an indoor dog isn't so bad. You can get away with that.
I guess that's true. Okay, moving on from this lovely topic.
Oh, and one more thing for the dating. You know, pick someone that makes you, like, that you can be really happy with, but also that makes you better. Because I dated people that I felt I was having fun with them and I had a great time, but I wasn't necessarily a better person when I was with them.
Right, you want someone that challenges you.
Yeah. And also, because sometimes I have a tendency to gossip a little bit, and I've been working on that. And if I ever start to do that with my husband, he kind of just, but he doesn't engage with me, and it really helps. Because as soon as he does that, then I go, oh.
Like, wow, you're yes, so interesting.
You're right. I shouldn't be doing this. Thank you. And move on.
And you should have fun together, like you were saying before. And so many times I feel like people are working so hard all the time and just fighting 24/7. And it shouldn't be like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, arguments are going to happen, but not, they shouldn't be all the time.
No, it shouldn't be super hard work like that.
Especially in the beginning. I mean, right at the beginning of a relationship, you shouldn't have anything to fight about. I mean, you don't share any bills or kids or anything. What is it you're fighting about? Because if it's that hard from the get-go, why force it?
I think one of the best pieces of advice I've ever gotten for relationships is that they're never going to be exactly 50-50. You shouldn't be obsessing over, well, I did the dishes last night, so he should be doing it tonight. Sometimes you're going to be the one picking up the slack and putting more effort in when your partner needs that extra support or they're going through something. But then again, they're going to do the same thing for you when you need that help.
Yeah, so I think we shouldn't be. If one's sick, they're not going to be able to pull as much weight as if, you know, they were both healthy. So it's, you know, through sickness and health and all that.
Exactly. And you don't want to be obsessing over, like, counting, well, I changed the diaper this time. It's his turn to change the diaper that time.
Mm.
You just do it and you know, okay, it's going to even out and they're going to be there for me when I need it.
I'd also say be careful with your words because in an argument, I've had friends tell me when they'll say things like, well, I'm going to go on a trip and they get in a fight. And then they say, well, just don't bother coming back. And it's like, how do you recover from that? That is really hard to go back. So I'd say just be careful with your words when you're in a fight or if you're just upset about something. Pause. I know it sounds like a little kiddish, but like count to 10 and then say what you're angry about.
We will
but
go just to like separate rooms and then cool off and think about it. And then it's like such a stupid argument when you really think about it that it's like, wow, why were we fighting?
Right. Like Jay and I don't have a tendency. We don't really have fights, and our friends are always surprised by that. But it's because when we get upset, we get really quiet and we think about it, and then we talk about it, and it helps so much. Because it's not to say we don't get upset, we don't have discussions or anything. We just don't fight because we both know how much it hurts if you say something. Because you can apologize, you can't unhear it and you can't completely take anything back. Because even if you say, I didn't mean that, I didn't mean that, mm-hmm. well, you still said it. So
right, you need to learn how to fight fair. You know, mm-hmm. name calling or personally attacking someone mm-hmm. is not productive. No. But at the same time, you know, something that my husband and I have worked on in our relationship is that just ignoring it doesn't make it go away. Mm-mm. Or being quiet about something, like some, we both have a tendency to sometimes just kind of shut down if there's an issue and not say anything. But
silent
then,
treatment is much yes, worse than talking it out.
That breeds resentment and it gets worse. So you have to make sure that you do talk about it. And if you say something, you can't just be like, okay. You have to actually talk about it, say why it bothers you, and then how you're actually going to fix it and how it's going to get better in the future.
Oh, and don't discuss things when you're hungry.
Oh my because gosh, the hangries.
Me and Jane both get the hangries. And there'll be nothing to be upset about, and we'll find things to be upset about.
That's my next piece of advice, is carry snacks with you.
Yep.
If you're going on a long trip, or you have to go, I don't know, furniture shopping, or something that's not necessarily fun, bring snacks for yourself and for your partner. Yeah, it makes everything else much better.
If you're arguing over directions, and you take the wrong turn, and you're wrong, and then you give them a brownie or a cookie or something, they're going to be a lot less mad at you.
This sounds like it's happened before.
Have the best sense of direction, so
mine's horrible.
do any of us have a good
no I think sense it's all terrible. Oh, I take it back. When I'm like outside, I can do like orienteering and use maps, and like when I'm hiking or backpacking is much different, whereas when I'm in a car, I get completely turned around and have no idea where I'm going.
It's seriously like 10 times worse for me when I'm outside in the woods where I don't know where anything is. I don't understand.
If I got lost in the woods and had to do the whole like direction same thing.
The sun in the sky.
Yeah. I'd be like,
the stars.
Okay. It's big cloudy.
You stay on the trail and you're pretty much good to go.
It's cloudy. We're not going anywhere.
What I don't know where the sun is. If you fall down a cliff and you roll down a little ways like in the movies, how do you find the trail again?
I tend to avoid falling off cliffs.
Well, it happens all the time in the movies.
That's true.
Maybe you shouldn't go in nature, Maddie.
But I love nature. Just I like to have people around that can help me direct the way to go.
So our next topic for advice is beauty. And
beauty.
And the beast. But it's not the beast. I'd say find like a routine you like. And that could be anything from doing really simple makeup to no makeup. Or doing, if you want to do smoky eye at 9 a.m., that's fine too. Do whatever you want. I tend to wear a fair amount of makeup. I tend to do, you know, quite a bit of sparkly eyeshadows and things. Because I think it's fun. And if I like it, I don't know why anyone else needs to care. And what I tend to do is I'll get up and I'll have my coffee and I'll watch Friends and I'll do my makeup while I watch it.
Literally, since college, this has been her routine. Every single day, I would wake up to the Friends theme song, which wasn't a bad way to wake up at all, and her sitting in front of the mirror, feeding her cat little pieces of bagel.
Okay, I love my cat, and he begs really good like a dog.
Sometimes it's also a good idea to streamline a little bit, though. When you tend to have Friends playing in the background, it can make your beauty routine take a lot longer.
Well, that's why I recommend watching a show you've seen before, so you don't have to get too distracted, which is
background
why I want Friends.
Noise.
Yes. Not true. Like Friends or How I Met Your Mother, it's like I watch something happy in the morning and it just starts your day off really good. But what I'm saying is find something you like to do, and it could be no makeup, it can be whatever you want, but find something you like to do, and if other people don't like it, well, screw them. Because I had a girl come up to me and ask me, like, how long does it take to do your makeup?
It's like a backhanded compliment.
It definitely came off like one. And I
would never be able to do that every morning.
Oh, yep.
I just don't have the patience for it. It's like, well,
good
for you.
Or I'll have them say, oh, I guess I just value sleep a lot more than you do. Or, oh, I guess I just don't care as much. I don't feel like I need to impress people that much. As if like, oh, because I do.
Wait, have it's you just, actually had someone say that one?
Oh, yeah. I've had people say all kinds of things because I tend to wear makeup. I like doing it because it's a fun way to start my morning. It's calming and it just puts me in a good mood. And I think it's fun. It's kind of like creative, and I get to switch it up every day. I'll try out different color eyeshadow for fun. I did teal yesterday. That was crazy.
There's a reason it's called like a makeup artist.
Yeah,
it's
a
like
great
a form
time.
Of art.
I mean, when I feel like I look good, I feel happier. I feel like I'm in a better mood too.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm just saying that whether it is that you don't like to wear makeup or you do, if that is what makes you happy and that is what you like, then completely ignore it, what everyone else says. I don't care who it is, but if somebody, I mean, unless they're telling you when you're like 13 that you, or like 15, that you shouldn't put like concealer on your lips. I thought my lips were too big when I was
oh
like 15. And so I would try to put like a little bit of like powder on them to make them look a bit smaller.
We tried to tell you, Amy.
No, but like at the same time, I do remember like
nude lipstick
couple,
was big.
Yes, and it wasn't nude like a pretty like peachy normal natural skin tone. Mm-hmm. It was like literally you put your concealer all over your lips.
So I was trying to do that.
Yeah,
and it looked terrible. Cute. And Matt and Katie tried to tell me, and I didn't listen to them.
It was probably, when your family gives you advice, they're being honest. Mm-hmm. Listen to them. They're not trying to tear you down.
So when I'm saying ignore people, that's not what I mean. I mean, like, listen if they give you tips about that. I'm just saying if somebody tries to criticize you and make you feel bad.
Don't let them get you down.
For doing that, then just don't let the muggles get you down. I mean, ignore them.
Like, well, and if you want to give someone, like, if you know a better way of doing some sort of, like, makeup application, say it in a way like, wow, your makeup is really pretty. Did you know that you could do it this way? It saves me time, or whatever you want to say, mm-hmm. instead of being, like, rude about it.
Because if you don't like doing your makeup, that's great. But if someone else likes doing theirs, leave them alone. They don't need to hear your input on that. And vice versa. If you like doing makeup, but somebody else isn't wearing any, don't tell them that they should, because no one likes to hear that.
So Amy does her makeup sitting on the floor in front of a mirror, usually.
I do it on the couch now, thank you.
Oh, have you seen that thing going around? And it's like, girls who sit on the floor and do makeup in a mirror can beat someone's ass. And I was like, I don't know if that's true.
I really can't.
I was like, I think I sent it to our group.
Do I have, like, a weapon in this?
My coffee cup and my cat.
Something that I think everybody needs to be aware of, though, is moisturize, please.
Oh, yep.
Put lotion on in the morning, put it on during the day, put it on before you go to bed, and wear sunscreen, because wrinkles catch up with you. I'm being honest here.
Well, and, like, when you're young, like, when you first start wearing makeup and everything, skincare is probably like the last thing you think about, but you're gonna be wishing that you had
been. I thought I was invincible and that wrinkles were never gonna happen to me. I was wrong. Also, wash your face every night. I don't care how tired you are, wash it.
Every morning and every night.
That's true.
Yes.
Morning, noon, and nighttime too.
And if, like, I do understand, like, say you get in, like, at 3 a.m. and you're exhausted and maybe not feeling the greatest, get a makeup wipe and at least, like,
She's trying to say that if you stumble in, like, totally blacked out, then you're probably not going to wash your face.
We're trying to avoid that. Yes.
Get a wipe, you know, get the bulk of it off at least, you know.
Wipe off that mascara running down your face.
It's one of those nights. Okay, moving on.
But it is the worst when you wake up and you're like, eyeliner is, like, smeared on your pillow.
Like, how long have I looked like this?
And your mouth is open and slobber's coming out. And it's like, oh, wow. Going back to, finding someone who's going to love you at all looks.
I think going along with don't let anyone make you feel bad about your beauty or your makeup routine is don't compare yourself to other people in life, in social media. I think that is an easy way to suck out the joy from all of your own accomplishments and from your own life. I've heard that quote before, like, don't compare your chapter one to someone else's chapter 10. Mm-hmm. Be proud of your own progress and what you've accomplished without comparing it to someone else's accomplishments or their timeline.
And don't compare your, like, freshman year to, like, your sister's senior year chapter, because you're not going to look the same, and that's okay.
I was there, too. I literally wrote in my senior picture to Amy, my little sister, I wrote in there, like, those exact words. Like, just wait, your time will come, because I was a freshman when Katie was a senior. Mm-hmm. We've been there.
People thought I was her cousin. They were like, oh, you guys are sisters? It's like,
people would say that the same way. I mean, Katie Wilson is your sister? I was like, yes, I know. Don't look anything like her. Yeah. But, yeah, anyways.
Also, just, your freshman year's book can be bad. Or, like,
it's rough.
Parts of it will be bad. And that's okay. I wore polka dots and stripes, and Maddie told me it looked okay. So that's on her. That's on Maddie.
Amy, literally every bad trend that I did, you did.
So. You never wore polka dots and stripes. What is? Okay, that's not important. Moving on.
Okay, anyway.
But don't compare yourself. And don't compare yourself even to your sisters. Like, everyone is different and everyone has their own things going on. And
everyone has their own strengths and weaknesses and insecurities. Mm-hmm. And you might think someone is flawless and they don't feel the same way. It's crazy. But as far as social media, I heard somewhere that the five people's content that you consume the most is who you will be the most like. And I don't know if this is true or not. I've definitely heard, like, the five people you spend the most time with, you're a combination of them. Mm. So really be wise with whose content you consume.
And who you let take up your time, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if I understand, like, people will say, oh, just unfollow people who, you know, make you feel crappy or whatever. If there's someone you personally know and you don't want to unfollow them, you can mute their, I don't know if you know this, you can mute their stories so that you're not seeing them as much and everything. So if that's what you need to do, then do it, because, we consume so much content. So be picky with your time and follow people who are going to make you a better person, not who are going to make you feel crappy about yourself.
I know there's a lot of pressure to stay relevant and to stay, like, on all the different platforms. Mm-hmm. Especially, I felt like in high school, it was like, if you didn't have Instagram, you weren't there. And I recently deleted my Twitter account just because it didn't make me happy anymore. I felt that a lot of what I was seeing was really negative and people criticizing other people and making fun of them. And that might just been who I was following and the accounts I followed. I'm not saying Twitter's all bad. But
I don't know if this is true or not. I don't have a Twitter either, but I've heard the same thing about Twitter, that it's like the most negative space.
But yeah, I didn't like it. I hadn't used it in a long time because whenever I went on there, it just made me feel like sad about humanity. I thought just people are so mean. So I deleted it and I don't regret it at all. I don't care. I don't go on it. And if I start to feel like I'm consuming a little too much like social media and it's making me feel bad, I just try to get off for a little bit. Or you can set a timer that tells you when you've used up like 45 minutes of Instagram a day or something. Mm-hmm. You can set notifications to keep your time down. And I've noticed that when I do, I feel better because I don't compare myself, because it's really hard to not compare yourself to people. You can say do it, but you're probably going to. Mm-hmm. So if you find that happening, just take a break.
Also, it's really easy to just mindlessly scroll through it and waste a lot of time. And I've been trying to be more conscious about that. And I mean, if you're going to the bathroom, leave your phone where it is. It doesn't need to go in there with you. It's okay to have some time where your mind is blank, or read the back of some shampoo bottles.
Those
it's okay.
Things are like covered in germs. Oh, you have to know, like, everyone has them stuck to them 24/7. You know, it's.
I put hand sanitizer in mine sometimes just because I assume, like, who knows? Yeah, now you have strangers take pictures for you or, like, you take it in the bathroom.
But I think it's kind of our default if we're, like, say you're standing in line at the grocery store. You pull your phone out and you immediately start scrolling through it. And I think that takes away from some of your creativity and your best thoughts come when
you're idle.
When you're idle and when your mind is clear. Or you never know, you might meet somebody in the grocery store line and talk to them. You don't do that when you're scrolling through your phone.
Yeah. I'm not saying that everyone needs to do this. I know this is not everyone's cup of tea. But sometimes I'll just start talking to somebody else that's in line with me or someone that's next to me. Or I was waiting for...
Oh, no, it's that crazy lady talking to me.
Run fast,
quick. No, it's like waiting for like an airplane or like waiting for it to take off or something.
Amy, you're one of those. I'm kidding.
I don't talk during the whole flight. I just meant when you're in line getting on it.
On a red-eye flight. Hey, my name's Amy. What do you want to talk about for the next 5 hours?
Okay, no, I don't do that. But I'm just saying.
Just sometimes.
If somebody else is next to you and they're not on their phone or busy and you talk to them and you can get them to laugh or get them to smile, and that makes me feel so much better than scrolling through Instagram. It can be really fun to make, even if it's short, to have like a really genuine human connection and just talk about something or find something in common. And your life is really cool.
Yeah, and I did hear something. I keep saying I heard something because I listen to so many podcasts that I heard things from somewhere. I just can't remember where. But I did hear that people have a really hard time just being alone with their thoughts. Mm-hmm. We're so used to listening to podcasts or music or audiobooks or TV or just scrolling on Instagram, having something fill our thoughts, that we have a really hard time just sitting and being with ourselves. And
thinking. You might invent the next sliced bread. Who knows?
You never know. Best health advice. I think that you just need to find something that makes you feel like your best self, and something that you can continue doing, whether that's exercising and finding what type of exercise makes you feel good. So many people will try one thing like running or lifting weights or yoga, and they don't like it, and then they quit and think, well, exercise just isn't for me. So you have to find something that's enjoyable and sustainable for you.
I mean, the three of us, I think we all like to do different things. I mean, mm-hmm. Katie is incredible at yoga. Maddie's a great lifter. And I do like 10 different things or I get bored. Like I do Zumba classes or I do YouTube video workouts. Some of them are ridiculous, but then it's fun. I go for runs. I do walks. I do lifting sometimes and yoga. For me, I just have to change it up constantly and be doing something different or I get bored. So maybe that's for you. Maybe you just need to try different things. Like I'll do the Stairmaster and then I'll go for a run. Like I have to change it. And if you find something specialized that you love, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. But if not, then just try different things so you can't get bored of any one of them.
I think for me what helps is being consistent and having a routine. So like when I would go to leave work, I would change into my workout clothes and my shoes before I left. Because then it's like, well, I feel silly if I'm already in my workout clothes and then I don't go.
I've even heard, like, you should sleep, if you're going to go in the morning, sleep in your workout clothes so you're already dressed. All you have to do is put your shoes on and get out the door, because the hardest part is getting dressed.
I did that one time, but it was winter, and my door was frozen shut, and I just went back to bed.
Okay, I guess that's a pretty good excuse.
So every once in a while, if you just can't work out, you know what? You can have those days. Well, it's okay.
Yeah, you don't have to be perfect. Right. Just being kind to yourself and loving your body at all stages. And I've never seen someone be successful in any kind of workout program when they come from a place of hate, where they're saying, I hate my body, I hate this, I hate that, I just want to change this and this and this. And you have to come from a loving place to make something work like that.
I'd say after having my daughter, Josephine, it definitely was hard for me to get used to all the my body changed so quickly. You go from before pregnancy and then everything go through pregnancy. And then all of a sudden, when you're no longer pregnant, it's like, okay, now I've got all this extra skin. I have stretch marks. I've gained weight and you're tired. And it's hard to accept all those changes in your body and feel like, okay, I can be beautiful. I am grateful for what my body has done and what I'm still able to do for it. And it took me a while to kind of change that mentality. And I mean, there's still days that it bothers me and it's hard for me. But I definitely have a different attitude and mindset about it now that, I mean, it gave me the most wonderful person in my life. It gave me my daughter, and I'm healthy, I'm strong, and I'm able to accomplish so much because of my body. And seeing it as a work in progress and exercise as something that I can enjoy and that can better my mental health as well as my physical health, rather than, okay, this is my... Like, you always hear that quote that it's about the journey rather than the destination. It's like, I'm not just doing this just so I can have that perfect bikini body. That would be nice, but I'm also in it for that work in progress on the way there.
I keep that in mind when I'm doing cardio and I'm thinking like, yeah, I would like to get in good shape and I want to look great. But also I keep it in mind is if I keep doing cardio, if someday those like crazy killer clowns come back from like 2016, if they come back, I'm in the shape that I can outrun them. And that helps me too, just because you never know when you're going to need that.
That was such a weird time. That was
and people weird. Don't talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
It's like it didn't happen.
It's like a dream, a weird, really bad dream.
That's because clowns are best left in the past and not talked about anymore.
But yeah, exercise doesn't have to just all be about making your body look better either. It's also about having that time to yourself to sweat and, you know, have those endorphins running through your body and make you feel good.
Working out gives you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy, and happy people don't kill their husbands, so.
What is that from?
It's Legally Blonde. Legally Blonde. Maddie, come on.
Legally Blonde.
Oh my gosh.
You're blonde. You don't know this.
No, I'm sorry.
But also, even if you feel like you're crazy, crazy busy, there were some times when I was so stressed, I didn't think I had time for the gym. Make the time, because then I would feel so much better afterwards. I would work out, and then everything felt way more doable, because you just feel calmer, and it just, even like 30 minutes, because then you're just like, okay.
Gives you energy.
I can do this.
Also, you can always do Kegels while you're in the car.
Oh my gosh.
You always have time for those.
That's true. So good for your pelvic floor muscles.
Okay, moving on.
And, I mean, another thing is a healthy body looks different on everyone. Mm-hmm. Someone can look amazing and not have a healthy inside, or, you know, be miserable. So don't base, you know, don't judge a book by its cover, because, yeah, you never know. Someone can, healthy looks different on every single body. Mm-hmm. So
I think one tip that helps me stay consistent with working out is having some kind of goal that I'm working towards, rather than just like, oh, I'm just working out. Like, I like to run. So it's signing up for a race and actually having a goal that I'm training for, a deadline that I'm training for. Who knows? Whatever it is, have an end date in mind that you might want to work towards.
Sometimes I buy dresses at thrift stores that are too small for me because they're cheaper. So then, that doesn't usually work though. Just buy things in your size, okay? Just do that.
I was about to say, don't tell people to buy small clothes.
No, just buy things in your size. I did it because it was cheaper. It wasn't intentional.
Well, Amy told me to buy all these extra small clothes and they're hanging in my closet and I'm angry.
And then I did it because it was cheaper at thrift store. But normally don't do that. But I'd also say, develop the habits as early as you can, because then it's going to be easier later on. My mom is the best example of this, because my mom, I mean, she was always able to play tennis with us, go for hikes with us. She keeps up with us like crazy well. And I think it's because she always had those healthy habits, and she's just been really, really active her whole life. Mm-hmm. And she made it fun and taught us to be active and healthy. And she didn't teach us to diet. She taught us to be healthy and have fun and get like exercise in good, healthy ways. And now I'll have friends that say, like, wow, like, your mom could do those things. That's so cool. I wish my mom could do that. And I'm like, I know. She's super cool. And it's just great because she gets to enjoy being with us and doing things with us longer.
And her granddaughter.
Yeah, and her granddaughter.
I'd say one thing I really appreciate is that she was always really conscious about how she talked about herself in front of us. She was never down being like, oh, I need to lose weight, or I'm too fat, or I need to go on a diet. She never, ever mentioned that in front of us.
I never heard those words.
Never, ever heard that come of our mouth. And I think that that helped us with our own body image growing up. That's something that I want to be really conscious about for myself. I find myself with negative thoughts or talking to myself like, oh my gosh, that's disgusting. This looks terrible on me. And it's like, you know what? We need to be kind to other people, but also we need to be kind to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And the way that, like, when she would praise us as kids, it wasn't like, you're so beautiful, you're so pretty, you're so gorgeous. It was more like, you're so smart, you know, you can accomplish anything you want, you just have to work hard. Things that, you know, you're so smart. Words that weren't so much about our appearance, but what's on the inside. So,
and we still found ways to be insecure, because that's what you do when you're in middle school and you're a girl. So when
or
we
when
did,
you have braces and almost a unibrow and you are pale as paper, that's when insecurities are there. And you guys didn't tell me. Okay, so I had like a unibrow basically,
and then
I found out what tweezers were, because this girl was like, you know, and she didn't say it in a mean way, but she was like, have you ever thought about waxing your eyebrows? And I was like, oh, I think you're trying to tell me something. And then I found the tweezers, and that's when I overplucked.
Well, like, when I would go get my nails done, and they'd look at you, they're like, oh, lip wax as well? And you're like, oh, I see what you're saying.
Oh, my gosh.
Thanks.
Jeez.
But our mom would always, she would just emphasize that we had all these other gifts and these wonderful things about us. And then she'd say, and you're just, you know, and you're also cute. And that's just the icing on the cake. And that's not the most important thing. And that was really sweet. She still tried to make us feel good about the insecure thing. But she emphasized that that was not as important as we felt it was. But it's really hard. Honestly, like in this society, it's really hard to not feel like it's important. So don't beat yourself up if you do feel that way sometimes, because that's okay.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with caring about your appearance either. Like, if you want a, you know, amazing body, then yeah, go for it. Like, work for that, and that's totally fine. If you want to wear makeup, like we said earlier, that there's nothing wrong with that either. But yeah, we're going to move on to our best advice. So
that we've been given, or that we have.
Yes.
I'll start off with something my grandpa told me. Right towards the end of his life, I remember asking him, you know, Grandpa, what do you have? You've lived such an amazing, interesting life. You've worked really hard. What do you have that you would want to pass on to me? And I remember him telling me that you should do as much as you can while you can and give it your best shot. And I think he definitely lived up to that. I think you don't need to wait for that perfect moment when everything's right in your life to go for something.
Because it will never happen.
Yeah, it's never going to be perfect. I think to me it's like, go ahead, take that chance, work hard for it, and you know, give it your best shot.
He 100% lived that. I mean, he started a construction company just out of nothing. He's like, here we go. He did it. But that goes with what he told me too. One of my favorite advices from him, he just said that as long as I had confidence, I could do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it helps to have a few other things too, but he's right. I mean, if you don't have the confidence, it's so much harder. Mm-hmm. And as long as you have some faith in yourself, it's huge. Maddie got mad at me the other day because I was applying for a job, and I kept saying things like, well, I probably won't get it, but if I do, and Maddie was like, stop it.
And she kept saying like, oh, I'll try. And I was like, no, you're going to do it. You're going to do
this. Manifest it.
And then she quoted Yoda, and she was like, Amy, there's only do or do not. There is no try.
And
I think she butchered it a little bit, but that's okay.
Jaden, Amy's husband, is like the ultimate Star Wars fan. So I was like, how do you not know what Yoda says?
Okay, I know it. It's just harder to practice it.
Call that into existence.
Mm-hmm. I'd also say drink good coffee. Because
just not right before your physical therapy appointment.
And, hey, being regular is really a good gift. So maybe you should drink coffee. I meant drink good coffee because
Life
is too short.
Yep, because crappy coffee is just not as fun. And if you're going to drink coffee, go big. Do the good stuff.
Coffee. Yeah, there's this coffee mug I've seen, and it's shaped like the poop emoji, and it says, coffee makes me poop.
You buy that for me. I'm going to give it back to you.
I always think about buying it for you. But, yeah, I have just getting out of your comfort zone and not letting anyone discourage you. Mm-hmm.
Also, here's some more advice. That goes along with the poop thing.
Oh my gosh, can we not talk about poop?
No, it's not about that, really. Just don't be afraid to tell stories that are kind of funny about yourself. Because if you own them...
Don't take life so seriously.
Yeah. No, yeah, you know, it's just life. But
I mean,
just enjoy it. Because if you have stories that are funny and you can own up to them, then no one can really hurt you. I know that sounds dumb, but it's true. If you can admit the most embarrassing stories about yourself and laugh at them and have a great time retelling them, then what's somebody else going to do to you when something funny happens? I mean, you kind of have the power in that situation, which is why now you all know that I tutored at physical therapy. Like, it really, it makes things so much easier. I feel like
we should stop saying
tutored. It's so much nicer than the other words, though.
I don't know. It kind of is weird.
I would say that with enjoying your life and, you know, laughing at yourself is one of my favorite quotes is to always bring your own sunshine. And to me, that means that your happiness isn't someone else's responsibility. Mm-hmm. You can't expect your partner or your friends to be the ones that make you happy. Yes, they help, and it's a wonderful thing, but don't put that on them.
Because coffee can do it instead.
Also, I think that it also means to allow your happiness to be infectious and spread that happiness around to the people around you. I really like a quote by Mother Teresa, and it's that to spread love wherever you go and let no one ever come to you without leaving happier.
Mm-hmm. I like that. One I have that I have no idea who came up with this, and it is definitely not from Mother Teresa, but it's that you can be the juiciest peach in the tree and someone just isn't going to like peaches. And I have to remind myself that seriously all the time, because you can be like the nicest, kindest person to people and someone's still going to not like you for it. You have no idea why, and there's nothing you can do about it. And being a sensitive person, I can't tell you how annoying that is.
Same.
But yeah, you have to just accept it that you cannot please everyone. Someone is going to find something that they don't like. And it's probably their own insecurity. But yeah, you've got to just do you and do what you want. And
you can't always control what other people are going to think or how they'll react to something. Or you can't control every situation or how the outcome is from that. But you can control how you deal with it and your attitude and how you adjust to what's happening in your life.
So back to Mother Teresa. Kate and I both happened to have ones from her. They're kind of similar to what Maddie was saying, but if you judge people, you have no time to love them. And that's just something you're getting used to, because I think when I was younger, I was definitely had more of a tendency to judge people. And it's probably because I was judging myself constantly, so I did it to other people. And I realized I was actually a lot happier, and it was a lot more fun for me when I didn't do that. Because then you can find the fun things about people, and you can learn more about them, and it makes it a lot more enjoyable being around people. So I'm still working on that. I mean, I think it's our tendency to judge people the instant we see them. So it's more taking that snap judgment and then kind of like letting yourself make a new one.
Choosing to be kind and choosing to give people grace and give yourself grace.
And if you do something that you regret, just remember this quote from Rafiki. The past can hurt, but the way I see it, you can either run from it or learn from it. And that's Rafiki from The Lion King, in case anyone didn't know.
Follow Rafiki. He knows the way.
Have any of you seen The New Lion King?
No, not yet. I really want to see it, though.
I haven't either. I'm excited for that.
I've seen a lot of previews.
But I'm glad you did that quote, because that's really big right now.
I do know the sing-along.
So another one that I had, this was actually my very first Instagram post ever.
Going
way back. If you scroll way, way, way back, you'll find it. But it's never give up on a dream just because of the time it will take to accomplish it. The time will pass anyway. And I think that's so important, because people are always like, well, I can't do that because a million people are already doing it. I can't do this because it'll take me like 2 years. And yeah, at the time it's going to feel like forever, but that time is going to go by anyway. So why not work on whatever it is that you want, because
seize the day.
Exactly. Yes. So that's just very important to me. Any other quotes from you guys?
Signing off with, today's a good day to have a good day.
I like it. Okay, that about wraps it up for this episode. We really hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for listening to the
She's My Sister podcast.
We will have a new episode every week, so make sure that you subscribe so you don't miss out. Woo-hoo. And if you could please leave us a review, that would be amazing, and we would very much appreciate it. So thank you so much, and we will see you next time.
For more content from us, follow us on Instagram at She's My Sister Podcast, or DM us and give us topics, ideas, or give us any suggestions you might have for the podcast. Thanks.
Bye-bye now.
Ta-ta.
Cheerio. Darling, you.